This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas. Thousands of Republicans from across Texas coming to Houston for the Republican Party of Texas convention. I'm Brandon Waltons, and this is The Headline.
During COVID, we were really bored and also really, really angry. We were just sitting
all
around.
All good things happen.
So you got Just Say No to Democrat chairman. Nice shirt there. And then this one, maybe my favorite.
Recent, right, with property tax appraisals, right, that have gone out. There's people that are being priced out of their homes.
And our goal and our mission is to educate Texans about liberty and freedom and to help them hold their elected.
So I think we're in a great spot. And one thing I've been telling people is you hear people talking about
here in Texas, we've got a trigger bill, but we also have the pre-Roe statutes.
So it's really important that we start actually cultivating red state sanctuaries, as we call.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this special edition of The Headline. I'm joined with Michael Quinn Sullivan right here, and we're, as you can see, at the Republican Party of Texas's convention. If you haven't been seeing all week, we've been here at least for the last few days, right here, and you can see that, you know, there's thousands of people who have come here, not only to elect party leadership, do the priorities, do, you know, the platform, all the business, right? But so many people, you hear them talk and they're saying, I haven't seen you in years, right? It's become a really big networking event being here.
Yeah, I mean, it really has been interesting. You know, the Republican convention always has a little bit of kind of a family reunion feel to it. But this year, certainly, because, of course, 2 years ago, the Republican convention was made virtual because of all the lockdown nonsense. Now folks are back together, and you can, you know, certainly, I mean, even up through today, after some, you know, I know there's some contentious fights and senatorial district caucus meetings and other things you take, but even still, folks are still so excited just to be together. And it's funny how, you know, it's still a novelty for a lot of folks to be able to be together and do the work of the Republican Party.
There's the tone of this convention, I think, right, was really summed up in what Chairman Matt Rinaldi said in his opening speech, which was that the party's going to start, it's going on offense.
Right.
Right. When you elect Republicans, you expect Republicans to be in charge. That, I think, has been the theme of a lot of what I've heard from people who are here. It looks to be potentially where some of the legislative priorities are going. And it's certainly the message that Republican delegates here are sending to lawmakers.
Yeah, look, you know, you see that they're in the convention hall with, I can't remember the exact number, but the party says that you've got 10,000 delegates and alternates to the Republican convention. That makes it the second largest political gathering in the world. The only larger political gathering is the Communist Party in China. Yeah. So this is a massive undertaking, and yet there is great unanimity when you talk to delegates, when you sit in on some of the caucus meetings, when you listen to the when they meet in the general meetings, that these folks are tired of sitting back and patting each other on the back simply for being Republicans. They actually want to see wins, and they should have them after more than 20 years of Republicans having every statewide office, of having both chambers of the Texas legislature. They're tired of Republican priorities and Republican issues at best being served up as little table scraps, while the agenda of the establishment, the agenda of the ruling elite, the agenda of the Democrats gets pushed forward. I mean, the, you know, maybe the clearest example of that is what happened last night in the GOP platform committee, where a unanimous vote, and look, I've been covering, coming to Republican conventions, Brandon, since the mid-90s, and I don't remember very many unanimous votes of platform committees, but they had a unanimous vote last night rebuking the state's senior senator, John Cornyn, as well as his nine Republican colleagues for their a compromise on gun rights with Democrats, establishing this framework that would put in red flag laws and a variety of other really obnoxious rules. If you're someone who values, your Second Amendment rights. You find those things problematic. And so that was pretty clear language. John Cornyn is going to have to, and I know he's walking around the convention. I think he's probably getting an earful from folks who don't want to see gun rights and Second Amendment rights surrendered to the Democrats.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the things that we've heard a lot, specifically where we're located in the exhibit hall is right by the front entrance, and people are given kind of their John Cornyn lanyards. And a lot of people are saying, John Cornyn, like, I'm frustrated by him because of, and they have mentioned specifically support of red flag laws, which has become a very, very big issue that you've seen Republicans activists push back on, and yet you have some in the ruling class of Republicans that seem to think that red flag laws are a good idea.
Yeah, look, you know, and for those who don't understand, you know, a red flag law, you know, there's some in kind of the mealy mouth wing of the DC swamp circuit who will tell you that, oh, well, we can put some constitutional guardrails around a red flag law. Well, then it's not a red flag law, because a red flag law exists specifically to circumvent due process. Red flag laws exist specifically to deny people rights without the adjudication of a court. So these are very problematic things that I think Republicans, again, you're seeing a lot of unanimity around saying we don't want to do those kinds of compromises with Democrats.
What do you think will happen? You know, obviously this convention is going to end on Saturday at some time on Saturday, whether it's Saturday afternoon or evening. What is the task then for activists in the party, conservative activists, for the next 5, 6, 7 months going forward to the legislative session?
Yeah, so, you know, party conventions are interesting. They're, you know, again, kind of, you know, family reunions are a lot of fun. But the only thing that really matters is the policy results that come about at the end of legislative sessions, whether that's the end of the Texas session, the laws that are passed in Congress, you know, the law, you know, the ordinances passed by city councils and county commissioners. As activists, hopefully this is an opportunity for those people here to be energized and recharged, but so they will go out and fight even harder. You know, that's the Matt Rinaldi line of, you know, we're going on offense. Well, going on offense means you're actively engaged in fighting. One of the things that's going to happen on Saturday, among the numerous things, besides just simply approving the platform, which in and of itself has a whole lot of working parts to it, but also establishing the 8 priorities of the Republican Party for the next legislative biennium. You know, and again, that's where hopefully activists will leave here and won't just say, well, you know, wipe their hands and say the job is done. Instead, they now have the onus, the responsibility of making sure that their Republican state representatives, state senators, members of Congress all understand that Republicans expect their elected officials to act like Republicans and not, you know, a dim version of Democrats.
You mentioned Matt Rinaldi, the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. This is his first convention that he's overseen. He started in July, was appointed to the position, and now by way of being unopposed has now been reelected to a full term as chairman of the RPT. We sat down with him earlier this week to talk about the convention and what his advice is for activists going forward. Check it out. That a little further. What do you mean going on offense as a party?
I mean, I think Republicans have been tired of whenever there's an issue, we let the Democrats define the debate. We let the Democrats define the issue. Then it's like, how much are we going to give up? And I think, you know, Trump changed that. I mean, now we need to go on offense. We need to do like Dan Patrick, like Ron DeSantis are doing, and, you know, go after companies that are taking positions on issues that have nothing to do with them, that are harmful to society. We need to win these battles. Things like the Roe v. Wade trigger bill that are going to outlaw abortion in the state of Texas. We need to be proactive. We need to define the debate, and we need to win these issues.
You can see more videos like that at youtube.com/Texas Scorecard. We got more coverage at texasscorecard.com of folks, not only elected officials, but grassroots activists that we've been speaking to all week. Before we go, I do want to say, first of all, if you haven't already, subscribe, like, share the video. I'd love for you to do that. But second of all, Michael, you released earlier this week, announced a new video from Texas Scorecard that you actually have a little bit of a starring role in.
Yeah, look, it's a lot of fun. Look, you know, very often we get involved in these fights and these discussions, and it's all dreadfully serious. This stuff is really serious. But and so sometimes it's important to take a deep breath, smile a little bit, laugh at some of the things these cats do. Recently, one of the divine, godlike figures in Texas politics opined at an event about what, you know, the legislature wasn't going to do these conservative things. Instead, they're going to do the kitchen table things that people care about. And he went on to name all sorts of silly stuff. And so some of our team got the really good idea to, well, maybe let's see what that would look like in practice. And so the result is this video.
There you go. Thank you for joining us. We leave you with kitchen table.
I'll say it again. We are focused on the real issues the Texans are truly talking about around the dinner table.
And what is that, sir?
Honey, have you seen that the legislature is talking about extending Chapter 313 tax abatement agreements so that local governments can subsidize green energy at taxpayer expense?
That's wonderful. I mean, you know how much this issue matters to us.
Today, I learned that there are 600 genders.
That's nice, baby, but the adults are trying to talk. Now, did I tell you that the other day Susan and I were talking and she told me that currently there are 13 felonies related to oyster harvesting and consumption, but it's okay because the legislature has assured us they're going to spend some time taking a look at it. I mean, you know how much this issue matters to us.
Mm-hmm. Dad, my teacher told me that I'm a white oppressor and I need to apologize to my classmate?
Son, we're talking about important things right now.
Now, you know what? Something else that we were talking about is that the legislature is also considering more tax grants to emission reduction programs.
That's great. I'm glad they're taking care of the issues we really care about.
Politicians are out of touch with the things Texans really care about. The serious things. The things we talk about at work, with our friends, and at the dinner table. At Texas Scorecard, we're committed to covering the real issues that matter most to real Texans.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.